It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, this is Ben, a.k.a. Aaron of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast. And you're listening to the 170th episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the upcoming MMO, Cryptic Neverwinter. Well, here we are. It's ho-ho-ho time, right before the end of the year. And we've got some holiday special here today with Ben and myself. Welcome, Ben.
Hola.
And we got, you know, we want to start off the episode tonight, talk about some of the news that we've seen in the Neverwinter community. There's been a lot of stuff going on. But before we get into the actual IGN Vault news and other things, we want to start talking about the GameSpy lobby server list for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 going offline. It was a pretty dark day in the Neverwinter Nights series history whenever that system was finally turned off by GameSpy. I guess they finally realized that there was no purpose of keeping it up, being that the company's no longer paying them and probably hasn't paid them since 2008 or maybe longer. And and at the end of the day, people logged in and you're looking for servers in the actual game multiplayer server lobby, and then it just found that it was down. Something I think we've all thought about at one point or another when it was going to finally go down, being that even the GameSpy authentication was the first to go. In the meantime, there is a new website that was just released called nwnlist.com, and we'll have this in the show notes as well, that if you're using the NWNX4 XP bug fix 1.0.20, your server will be automatically listed there. And it's actually pretty amazing. It's a website that has both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 servers. Pretty much real time, it refreshes itself. You can go through all the different categories of servers just like you would in game. The only difference is now you won't be able just to go multiplayer and, you know, browse for a server. You'll have to actually see the Direct Connect address and type it in the Direct Connect window. But other than that, everything else should work exactly the same. The nice thing here is shows you how many players are online and all the connection information and links to the websites if they were provided in the name. So I definitely encourage anybody who has a persistent role for Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 to check it out. And another cool thing, too, that I noticed is that they're tallying the number of players that are online total at the top in the tabs. You know, so you have NWN2 with a amount of players, and you have NWN1. At the time we're recording, it's 9:24 p.m. EST on 12:19, and there's 213 players for Neverwinter Nights 2, and for Neverwinter Nights 1, there's 295 online right now. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool to see. To actually see like the high level view. We do have a pretty nice view into the servers that are online, and I'm glad to see that this work was done. This is a great work between Skywing and some other folks that, you know, we'd love to have on the show to talk to them and how they stepped up the game. I mean, this is huge to kick this out in a few days and how fast it was able to be done. So it's definitely a game changing and game saving in a way of having people find servers that they want to check out. Otherwise, we might as well get into the news. But I thought that was a pretty big piece of news that happened since our last recording of episode. So, Ben, you want to get started with the Neverwinter 1 news?
Sure. So, Neverwinter 1 modules. The first new one is called Eye of the Beholder 2 by Rick Dark Francis. The description is that, once again, evil is stirring throughout the land. You are summoned by Kellan Blackstaff, the Archmage of Waterdeep. He suspects that evil has taken over the Temple Darkmoon. Before contacting you, he sent a scout, Amber, to investigate, but she has disappeared. Essentially, looking at the various images he has set up, it looks like a pretty awesome little module that you can go and play. He's estimating that there should be 25 plus hours worth of gameplay, and it's set up for 4 players to play with no DM required. So
sounds pretty beefy.
Yeah, pretty beefy setup for a run, and it's nice, actually, I gotta be honest, to see one that's made for multiple people. to set it up so it doesn't have to be either a persistent world or a module that you run by yourself. So I'd visit it just for that reason, to sort of check it out and, you know, run it with some friends and see how much fun it is.
Yeah, so that's very well done. I like that angle too for single player modules. Let's take off the single player modules. How about that?
Yeah,
I think
that
works a little better in that case.
Right. The next one is the Summer's End, Chapter 1, The Stone and Sentinel by Very Spellis. The description for this one is that it's a warm summer's day in Celester, a sleepy backwater in the province of Renar. The people of the small but prosperous town have always lived peacefully in the shadow of a great ancient monument. But a series of events are about to change this all. This one is a single player, as according to the description, more than one would break a large number of scripts. The plot does assume that the player is not a magic user, so something to be aware of. Looking at the pictures, though, this is a very nicely done setup as well. Definitely worth a look to sort of try it out if you want to try another sort of different Neverwhere One module.
Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, I'm looking over it right now. I mean, there's nice maps. Very well detailed, and yeah, I'd say pretty decent on its resources too. Looking at it really requires a CEP from what I can see here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. The other thing is they have announced the custom content challenge winners for the October 2012 contest, which was the subject of the bazaar. We'll be posting various links on the show notes.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that contribute to that.
Yeah. And just to throw out a thank you to all those who contributed to this, because these things are one of the things that keep this community going. Asymmetric, Sadus Day, Dusty Lane, Phoenix Rising,
Shemzu Hero.
Thank you, Brian. the ever famous Amethyst Dragon, and Just a Ghost. Again, thank you guys for keeping this going and adding some more content. The more the better. We always love to see when people are still creating content for Neverwhere 1 or 2.
Yep, and we definitely like to see 2 get to that point where we start seeing the type of creation. If we can get something like that together at some point for 2, I think that would be fantastic.
Definitely.
Yep. And in Neverwinter Nights 2 news, we have a couple big things. The first one is our partner in the Persistent World Alliance with the Witch King from the Rise of Sauron, well, formerly of the Rise of Sauron, is getting ready to open up his new Persistent World using the Realms of Trinity infrastructure and a lot of our systems. It's called Middle Earth Unfinished Tales, and the website's the link's posted in our show notes. But this is a J.R.R. Tolkien based game world with many alterations and customizations to the standard Neverwinter Nights 2 game. Every attempt has been made to keep it as true to the Tolkien setting as possible while balancing gameplay for difficulty, interest, and enjoyment. I can speak a little bit to that personally. I've been working with Witch King for, I'd say, at least 9 to 10 months now. I had his module, integrated all our systems to it. We've actually co-developed new systems for both of our worlds since then for roleplay, rewards, and a bunch of other miscellaneous stuff. Plus, he's just had a lot of great ideas and other perspectives for extensions to some of the infrastructure that we've already had in place for ROT. It's been a great learning experience for both of us. We've really improved both of our worlds because of this endeavor, and I really hope that as we move forward, especially as he's become going live this Friday, I think it's this Friday. Let me see here real quick.
Yeah, it was this Friday, the 21st at 9 o'clock.
Yep, p.m.
So assuming that we're all still alive and the Aztecs calendar was actually the way the Aztecs made it and not the way the media claims it.
That would be the Mayans, but we'll... nobody's
kidding. Depends which calendar you're talking about, but anyways, picking your favorite end of the world scenario for December 21st, assuming they're all wrong, you can get on and play the game.
And it's going to be good. I can definitely attest to it. This one more than any other one that I've ever talked about. I mean, I've only had a periphery view and other products and persistent worlds that we've interviewed, just been on it for a little bit. But I know I've been in and out of this module. I mean, I know how it runs. I mean, from all our stuff plus a lot of the other stuff. And I can say for sure that you know, it's really well done. And I definitely think everybody that, you know, has any, especially with The Hobbit being out now, I mean, there's a pretty large enthusiasm about the Tolkien world. And Witch King and his staff done a great job in, you know, keeping the dream alive here in Neverwinter Nights 2 with this product. And plus it just shows it's a perfect example of how customizable the game is and how well that you can realize anything that you're trying to realize. You could really spend a lot of time building any kind of world. I mean, whether it's a Dragonlance or, and we've seen a few of those coming up recently in the Neverwinter Nights 2 world, or any other game environment that's pretty close to Forgotten Realms. I mean, I would say a lot of this stuff, you know, I know people probably scratching their eyes when I say Forgotten Realms and Middle Earth are the same or similar. I mean, they're not technically, but at least it's the same time, like type of time, medieval time period that you could really piggyback off the core game and as long as you spend the deep time and detail to customize the game the way you want for your particular world, I think this is a perfect example of that happening here.
Right. The other thing I'd like to add is just granted, most of the lore obviously comes from Tolkien, but the sheer amount of detail on this site that allows you to figure out, you know, I want to be this group because I want to follow this information because, I mean, there's so much information that you'll be able to do if you really want to get into heavy RP.
Yep, there's a lot of fan-based art that you were talking about before, too, Ben.
Yes, definitely.
Yep, so definitely check it out. We have the link in the show notes. Plus, we've interviewed the Witch King many times in previous podcast episodes. And last but not least, in Neverwinter Nights 2, actually, we have two more things in Neverwinter Nights 2. We have Cypher's PRC pack version 0.75. Cypher has been piggybacking on top of Cadran's PRC. It requires Cadran's PRC to be installed before this patch can even be added to it. But he's added a bunch of custom classes and some updates to original classes. So I definitely think, you know, it's really cool to see that, you know, there's a lot of work being done in the class world. How it will fit into your product or, you know, those types of considerations. I would say, you know, single player, if you want to add this stuff to your game or if you know, or even when you play single player modules from the vault or wherever, this is definitely something that'd be really cool. As far as persistent worlds, I mean, the only thing that I could see being a problem with when you have two different PRC developers is that if you install this patch and you want to apply, if Cadran releases an updated PRC, then it's not going to include these patches with it. So you're going to have some duplicative effort every time you make an update and a lot of comparison, a lot of checking, you know, and retesting. So depending on your beta staff and how good of a tester you are, you know, your abilities to quality assure your product, that's something just to keep in mind. Otherwise, I think it's a great idea and I think it's a great thing to see, even for just if you just need some ideas or you want to see how something's being done. I think it's nice to be able to see these types of customizations being created still in a Neverwinter Nights 2 community.
Exactly.
And lastly, we just finished up our Cormyrian Expanse cash prize contest at Realms of Trinity. It just completed on 12/14. We pulled our three winners for the drawing. The first place went to Zort Pepper, and he got $50. Second was Heart to Heart 50. She got $25. And last was Black Falcon, and he got $10. So, you know, That was how that went down, and we had a decent amount of people who actually completed the first volume of the our new campaign, the Cormyrian Expanse, which is set in Cormyr. I did see that there's a new persistent world set up in Cormyr too. Like try to get them on the show at some point and talk to them and see how they, you know, what their vision of Cormyr was. I'm sure it's pretty similar to what we've done, except for our stuff takes place in post-spell plague. And it's just like everything else in Realms of Trinity. Our timeline is set 232 years past the D&D 3.0 lore. So it's a pretty cool time to be playing in Forgotten Realms lore and, you know, that how we play with it and how we modify it for, you know, our vision of what happened after the spell plague. So, but yeah, Cormyr is a very popular area, and we're glad to be able to fully complete the first volume. Actually, we're about halfway done with the second volume now. So there's going to be a lot of work that we have left to do, but we've already completed about half of it. And we're rolling it out live chapter by chapter, so you don't have to wait 18 months for us to be complete with it and be able to get it rolling sooner than later. So I think that that's the model right now, especially with the low player base. We want to continue to pump out the content for the Cormyrian Expanse to fill it in and make it even more immersive than it already is. On another note, Lincoln Robinson, a.k.a. All Up In You, module author of Fanglewood and Murder and Dunlop, has joined the Realms of Trinity team, and he's going to be working with us directly, exclusively, using our systems and our module, and he's going to be building side quests and different things in our persistent world, very similar to what he's done in his single-player module, since that's the model that we use for our persistent worlds, done very similarly to single-player modules, but obviously geared for multiplayer and party play. It's also another great thing that we have talked about on episode 169, where we're getting involved, and I would hope that other persistent worlds would get involved with content creators and then bring them on staff, and so that we can all benefit from the wealth of knowledge that they already have, creating single player models, but also giving the ability for players on your persistent world that with their creative talent. So you're jacking into a whole new source of creative. So definitely it's a model that we started with, and it's actually working out, and I really can't wait to see what comes from it. I know that we're all excited here at the staff ROT, and it's amazing. Well, that's all I have for the news. You got anything else there, old Ben?
No, don't have anything else. I think we're ready to bring in our guests.
All right. Well, here we are. We got legendary Thomas Logue here with us from the Dark Tide and Neverending Nights. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you. And I like the legendary part.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You've been upgraded. Level up.
Now you don't have to get in game.
That's right.
Well, tonight we got myself, Brian, and we got Ben, a.k.a. Rowan, here with us. And we'll get together. We haven't had one of these open chats for a long time. Figured the holiday season is coming up. Like to squeeze another episode out for the end of the year before the old Mayan calendar expires and we all die somehow. And
you don't have much time.
Yeah, well, hey.
Go now. Get to the chopper.
As long as I get it edited before that post, then I'd feel better.
Then you'd feel better.
Yeah.
There's a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, something.
Yay, we did it.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a lot of stuff going on in community. I don't know, Thomas, you've been seeing the stuff going on at Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2.
Yeah, with the server.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, well, lack thereof.
I was kind of something I kind of felt that we'd probably see happen sooner or later. Kind of wondering how long it was going to take before somebody realized that there was this big leech in the room.
What's that thing? Poke, poke.
Yeah. They're like, what the hell is this running for?
It just surprises me because it affected Neverwinter Nights 2. Like if it was just the first Neverwinter Nights, that's not really a big surprise because that game's like 10 years old or something now.
Well, I think it's the fact that they piggyback off the same exact systems.
Yeah.
For that stuff. So I think that it was one of them type of things that I seen coming, but the fact so long I didn't know. But I will say this on record. I will say that I think in a way it might be better for the community that it's not there versus it being there. And the reason I say that is that it forces players to really look for a persistent world to play on.
Right.
Instead of, how many people are on this one? I'm just going to go play that. And never try anything else. And say, and then when they say that one server is actually sucks, and they say, well, if this is the best server, then I might as well just play Guild Wars 2 or whatever else. Now, at least they have an option to see, hey, these are the servers that are online. And these are maybe something I like to play. Also, right. Something else too, Thomas, and you're familiar with this, is the fact that building your website is so much more important now.
Yes.
And really focusing on search engine optimization and actually building a content-rich site is going to make a big difference. It also reflects on your service professionalism.
That's true. That's very true.
So I think in a way, those two things definitely make it better for the community. Now, obviously, not having an easier way to connect to a server, maybe not so much good for the community. But only time's going to tell as far as the overall effect. But I do know that that there is a new website that's out. It's called nwnlist.com, and they list all the servers that use the new XP bug fix from Skywing. So as long as you're...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You just pop that thing in over top your old one and reboot your server, and you're good to go. It'll show up in the list. And the webpage is pretty much broken down just like the lobby was before, but with the only disadvantage, you can't directly connect to the server. I mean, through like a, you know, click open game, there it is.
Right, right.
So you have to still copy and paste a direct connect address, but that's really not a big deal.
I'm hoping anyone who plays Neverwinter Nights knows how to do a copy and paste, so...
I would think so. I would certainly hope so.
So how's that work?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I did...
You kids and your newfangled toys.
The one thing I did notice, it's pretty reactive. It's pretty real-time. And also, the only one downside is if you have a subdomain pointing to your server, like, for instance, ours, we have server.realmsofeternity.com, you know, that it doesn't show the subdomain. It just gives the IP address. I mean, sometimes... you'd hope that they'd be using the subdomain, but it doesn't.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer.
Yep. I think it's because this is reading directly from your you know, how it pulls the, just like,
yeah.
It's
just pulling the IP info off the server. So yep. It's not caring about the rest of the name.
So, but we do have that information. Another reason for the website and alternative websites to get your stuff out there. So if you run a persistent world, obviously, you know, the Vault, the NW2 Wiki, and, you know, there's a couple other sites out there that you can get your stuff out. Social Bioware Forum would be all three good places to put that information in, you know, for your content. So.
Yeah, definitely. Because along the same lines, but has nothing to do with Neverwinter, like a long time ago, there's a company called Sierra. They made games like Leisure Suit Larry, King's Quest, whatever, Space Quest.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, classics.
Yeah, all the classics. So when some company bought them, they shut down those forums. So we did something along the same lines. We made one central, like, gateway for Sierra game, and then a bunch of us made sites dedicated to specific Sierra games. So it's kind of like the same idea. They took it away, so we made one big central thing, kind of like nwnlist.com.
Yeah,
and here's how you can connect.
I'll tell you what, it's a pretty amazing feat off the cuff that they had the ability to jack into that system.
Yeah,
that's definitely something I never would have thought would have been that easy.
Yeah, our thing too is it's nice when they do draw these lines in the sand, when people step up and turn it into something positive, as opposed to going, well, that's it, we're done.
Yeah, I mean, there's some amazingly talented people out there. I mean, you can see it with the content and stuff like that. So it's not surprising that there was someone who said, well, if you're going to take the server down, here's how we're going to do it now. And they found a way around it.
Right.
Because the NWN community, I mean, just like most communities, have just a bunch of talented people and some really, really smart people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hard to kill the programmers. There's no doubt about that. They will try.
Yeah.
I recommend Sunlight.
Well, I will say this, too. Something that I talked about before in our show notes was Neverwinter. And I actually got to do a playtest last Saturday. Alpha version of it.
Very nice.
Yes, it was, and I had a great time. I can't talk a lot about it because there's an NDA agreement,
right,
in gag order, so to speak, in place. But you know, I tell you what, I am allowed to say that it is awesome. I mean, I can definitely say and that.
I just to interrupt for a second. I highly doubt that anybody from Neverwinter would. He said it was awesome. Go get him.
Yeah, he's saying good stuff about us. Shut him down.
Yeah.
Hit him with sticks now.
Yeah, they're not going to say nothing about that. But I will say that, you know, all the stuff that you've seen out there on it, the videos and stuff like that, don't quite do it justice, because when I was in-game, it played smooth. I mean, the graphics, and I don't, you know, my system is nothing, you know, that the one I played on specifically wasn't ridiculous or anything, and it certainly handled everything every bit as good as Neverwinter Nights 2 handles, and or Neverwinter Nights 1. I mean, it's smooth as glass, and I didn't see anything that to me that was like, oh, that looks like crap, or no, it was insane, especially the City of Neverwinter. It was just insane, and I've never seen renditions like that. And the fact that they really stepped it up, like the one thing about Neverwinter Nights 2 specifically, because it had the open terrain mapping, and you could have like the nice long distances, and you can, you know, you could do a lot of work with the fog distance and how things rendered. The one thing was, is even for stuff far away, it didn't really scale exactly the way you would expect it to, or it would just be so much an overhead to, you know, to really do the real, real long shots.
Right.
Whereas Neverwinter, I can say for sure that it's like you're actually there. I mean, if you look over the horizon, it's ridiculous. So, you know, however they pull that off, the engine is definitely superior to what we've seen before. Right? There's no question about it.
I'm looking forward to it because everything I've seen looks really, really cool.
It is really, really cool. And the fact that, gameplay was smooth. Everything was just, it was great. You know, character creation was easy. I don't know. I mean, to me, I think they've hit a lot of bells and whistles on, like, for the Neverwinter Nights community, because I think the feel of it really has the feel. It's not the same game, but it doesn't, you know, work exactly the same, obviously, and it's a new animal. But I could say that in a lot of ways that they have really, you know, improved the experience, and the fact that they have the user generation tools, you know, the tool set, so to speak, definitely something, you know, great to see that's the way that they're moving for the development of this MMO. Yep. So, you know, that's just something else, you know, before we get to the end of the year, I think that, hopefully everybody's keeping an eye on it, and we're going to get some more interviews coming down the line too with Neverwinter staff. I've been in contact with the Perfect Board Entertainment PR folks. Got really good close contacts with a couple of the people that work on Neverwinter Project. The one specifically that's been helping me out a lot, and, you know, setting up these interviews and working with us and partnering with the podcast. And, you know, we really are, you know, working really close together, and we're going to have a great partnership as we move forward. And, you know, keeping the Neverwinter Nights community and the new upcoming Neverwinter community informed of all the things from a player's perspective, of course. You know, we're not paid staff of Cryptic, and, you know, that's not our goal here. Our goal is to be reporting on the news of what's coming out and all the new features of, you know, with all these new gaming experiences that we could have in front of us. I mean, Neverwinter Nights has been our life for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no reason.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no reason Neverwinter isn't going to be one for us for the next 10 or 4 years. I mean, it's just, it definitely has so much legs to it. And it's got actually something that no other version of Neverwinter Nights or any D&D game like this has had before. You have corporate executive backing.
Yeah.
You know? I was going to say good development.
Well.
Hi-oh.
Yeah, well, they tried.
This is true.
Well, you know, like,
no, commentary was meant in jest. Please don't sue.
Yeah. Our opinions and viewpoints are not necessarily the
views. Yeah. The views of everyone.
Yeah.
Aaron's viewpoints aren't even a representation of his own viewpoints. Please ignore anything that comes out of his mouth.
We'll just leave it at that. So anyhow, what do you think, Bob?
So far, I like everything I've seen. The fact that, you know, it looks like it. And they're talking about, you know, I forgot what it's called, like the Forge or whatever.
Yeah.
Where you take stuff.
Yeah, the phone. Yep.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to see what they do and how they incorporate everything. Because I'm still at a loss how it can be like an MMO, but you can make your own items and armor. Like, what would stop someone from making, like, some insanely powerful sword? You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to see how they do it all.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I know you can't talk about it.
Actually, this one I don't know the answers to, I can't talk about it because I don't know. But, yeah,
see, I told you can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it. I'm gagged. Once again, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
Ben, what do you think?
No, I mean, and I'm going mostly off the website, but I mean, when you look at what they're offering, when you look at the ideas they're talking about, some of the things that the people we've interviewed have mentioned, I mean, it's definitely seeming like they're going in the right direction. They're applying a lot of logic. As we've mentioned, they do have good backing, you know, so it's not going to be a case of some of the issues that we saw with Neverwinter Nights 2 where things just got dropped off because somebody said, go live now. So, I mean, I'm definitely very eagerly awaiting this just to see what they're going to come up with, how it's going to work, and just being able to kind of just enjoy getting back into something that's a little bit more upgraded, hopefully a little bit more user-friendly, but just to have something where the community has a new tier to grow into as well.
Yep.
And like a new lease, basically, on, like, you know,
right,
renewed energy.
Right. Because that's one problem you do run into, especially once the games start hitting 5 years, 10 years, you know, when you hit a point where the game gets that old, you do start, you know, the graphics don't always matter, but after a certain point, yeah, they start to matter. You know, the gameplay doesn't always matter, but again, you know, after a decade of technological advancement, sometimes, you know, either the community has to make up for it by coming up with all this custom code, or, you know, people start losing interest. So that's why I agree with you guys saying, you know, something new, you add some energy, you make it more fun for people. I think that's what's going to lead to the continuation of the community just as much as keeping the community engaged through, you know, this podcast, the content creation challenges, and just people doing what they enjoy doing.
Yeah, I have to agree with you totally on that one. You know, what we've seen so far, you know, even talking to Shane, you know, in our couple of interviews with him when he was still the executive producer, I mean, you've seen the vision that they had, and they were definitely using they're definitely tapping the successes of its predecessors, but at the same time bringing it to the 21st century. You know, heavily, you know, in gaming in 2010 plus versus 2001 plus, you know, it is a different animal. I mean, even though Neverwinter Nights 2 came out in 06, it was largely the same as Neverwinter Nights 1, other than improved graphics and some new features. I mean, I think this is a whole new animal, and I think that it, because of all the money and time they're dumping into it, I think it's going to be a big success. I really do. And, you know, like I said, you know, we just got to wait and see, you know, how things progress. But so far, everything that I've seen, I've liked, and having played it, I can honestly say there's a lot to like with it. And we have a fighting chance again, you know, is if you're a content creator, you know, I think that we've all felt, and just by looking at the server list out there, you know, you feel like your work's going in vain because, you know, you have a couple of servers gobbled up all the players and that's all that's left because the community's kind of shrunk down to where you don't have a variety of players with different play styles, and the ones that stick around are the ones that always stick around. You know, they don't really care about the systems. They really don't care about, they just want a glorified chat room in some cases.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you have a game like Neverwinter coming out, you got a lot of possibilities because now instead of talking about a couple hundred players playing the game, like at any given moment, now you're talking millions possibly. So, and I think that's a big benefit.
And what, I mean, another benefit, you know, may or may not happen, but like when they release the new Neverwinter, it may also rejuvenate like interest in the older games that people may check out. Like, you know, you have websites like GOG.com and stuff like that put older games on sale. Like Neverwinter Nights has been on sale several times on there, but wondering like if when Neverwinter releases, if they'll do like another sale, get some more people who download the game and just check out the older games as well, you know.
Yeah, that's more likely what's going to happen. I mean, at some point they're definitely going to want to do something like that because it's just because it does reinvigorate people to check out possible what was out there before the new stuff. Well, I think we've beaten Neverwinter to a dead pulp.
Well, I see it twitching. Get the sticks.
Yeah, I think we've hit that one as much as we can right now as far as what we know about it. But, yeah, we'll keep everybody informed as we move forward. In 2013, you know, we're going to be closely working with the Neverwinter team, as we already have been last year, with going out and, you know, having another interview. And we had Andy Velasquez, the lead producer, on the show. You know, we're going to continue to work that. And also, we're going to continue to foster our relationships with Obsidian and BioWare, Obsidian specifically, talking about the Kickstarter program for Project Eternity and, you know, different stuff like that. I know it's not Neverwinter Nights, but these are people who have really brought us a great series of games with serious longevity. And that accomplishment is very far and few in between in the gaming community, maybe next to Super Mario Brothers. You know what I mean? How many games have lasted this long with this level of community support? And I don't know. It's something that you got to sit back and say, hey, yeah, we're crying right now, number of players wise, but at the same time, look how long it's been out too. It's not dead. It's still alive, regardless of the player count being low. It's still there. Hey, even there might even be possibilities for some of your Neverending Night stuff there. You know. How badass would that be?
That would be pretty badass. You know what would make Neverwinter awesome? If it had Peter and Grayson.
Exactly.
Nice.
Now it can. Dude, that would be some badass.
That would be.
I would seriously, I would charge per view for that. If you sat down, you put that together using Neverwinter, oh my god. Just some of the adventures. Oh.
That would be freaking hilarious.
yeah, it would be. If as long as the tools can do what we can do, you know, build the actual world out like we have already. I mean, I can imagine us being able to really put some amazing stuff together. Just seeing what we've done with Neverwinter Nights 2, how we blew the doors off the tool set. Can you imagine if you have access to a much cleaner, much more feature-rich, quicker development system? And one that you don't have to set up, host, maintain, blood, sweat, tears, pay for money, lots of money for, and get no respect.
Who needs respect? That's true. That is very true.
That's visibility, my son.
Right.
Well, how about you got anything going on for the holidays there, Thomas?
Holidays. I have nothing planned other than just being stressed out about trying to get stuff for my wife because I'm really stupid. So I'm going to explain why I'm stupid here. So my wife has an Amazon account that is Amazon Prime. Okay. So I logged on to Amazon with my own account and said, well, I don't want to use her account because she'll see the email that's saying, hey, this, and this has been ordered because it's set to her email address. Oh. So I bought a bunch of stuff on Amazon and clicked, you know, continue, paid for it. And I was talking to my wife and she was like, I noticed that you didn't use my account. I was like, yeah, no, I used my account. She goes, you realize you don't have Amazon Prime, right? So that means it won't show up in 2 days. And I was like, yeah, but I ordered it way in advance, which is a total lie. And I looked, and so far, like, all the ETA are for, like, December 27th, December 28th. Ooh. So, yeah, I have a feeling I'll be at the mall, like, the day before Christmas, just to put something under the tree.
Yeah, you're going to be at the mall, so you're not on the couch.
Exactly.
If right, so,
the point of the story, do not procrasticate.
No procrastinating.
Never procrastinate.
No, that would not be fruitionary.
Yeah, English 101.
Yeah, well, we threw that out the window years ago. Hey, you know, you're not doing a good thing unless you're making up one fake word a week. You know, you
have exactly.
If you're not be making up a false English word, you know, that you could post on the Urban Dictionary, then, you know, you're not doing your part for humanity. You know?
I'm on Wikipedia right now making that word real, so.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. What about you, Ben? What's going on for the holidays? You got everything stuffled up?
No, just seeing how many different times I can drive all over New York State. But besides that, not too much.
That's good to hear.
Oh, yeah.
So, wait, why are you driving all around New York State? Do you have that many women lined around all around New York State?
And thank you. You have now gotten me assassinated. No, just bouncing between my folks, her folks,
my folks. A lot of folks.
That's a lot of folks.
Or townsfolk.
Yeah, the funny thing is I'm an orphan.
Well,
that would explain all the folks.
You're going to be an orphan.
Yeah.
As far as
on that happy note.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get up my shopping as well, and you know, and all the stuff that comes with that. It's been a pretty hectic season for sure, and you know, especially with all the stuff that's going on. But we also, you know, we're busy, you know, cranking out content and keeping a Neverwinter dream alive. That's about what's going on our end. That's about it. But you know, it's been one heck of a year for podcasts. Just looking back from the 2012, I mean, we've had a lot of great stuff with the Dark Tide and, you know, having you on, Thomas, for the Greatest of Hits episode. That was classic. And, you know, I have to drum up that clip of yours that time. I forget what it was. Oh, you talked that one. We asked you a question. You're like, you're talking to me?
Oh, I think, wasn't that the intro where I was supposed to say my name and I'm like, oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, something like that. I think that's what it was. I'll have to pull that one up. I may splice that in this episode somewhere just for S&G.
Thanks, because I want to relive that right along with the, I don't even remember how I said procrastinate the first time.
Was it percatenating or something?
Something like that. It sounded very dirty and sexual.
Yeah, well, we also, you know, we have our way of doing that too here. We wouldn't be doing our part unless we had one or two comments at least, or it could be taken at least four different ways. You know? That's how we gain viewership.
Exactly. It brings up
the searching us now.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, what?
No, I was saying they're watching us now. I knew that little light on my computer meant something.
That's true. I mean, that's possible. Yeah.
You should put on a shirt, by the way, Ben.
Yeah, I got news for you. That is a shirt.
I ain't worried about the thaw, the shirt thaws.
Yeah, I mean, you should see when Brian stood up. That is one very disturbing thong.
Yeah, man. I wear assless chaps. I'm sorry.
The back says, get in game.
Yeah.
Get in game. Get in game. I want to get in game now.
Oh, thaw. Oh jeez, sorry Jay and Trey for making an abomination of this of the closing line. But I'm sorry.
To be fair, they met us. They knew what was coming.
I know. They talked to Calm beforehand, so they had to know. Mr. Gin and Tonic.
God.
Anyhow, so yeah, we had a heck of a year. I mean, we've interviewed some top brass people, you know, from Obsidian. We've gotten to go out to the Origins Game Fair, and we went out to the Gen Con Game Fair. So we had two road trips this year.
That was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Got to meet Patrick Rothfuss. Very cool.
Yes, you did. That was it. Did we ever tell a story on air, Ben?
Which one?
About how you got to meet him?
We mentioned meeting him. We didn't get into the hows.
Well, first of all, tell the audience who Patrick Rothfuss is if they don't know.
Okay, well, for the heathens who do not know, Patrick Rothfuss is the author who writes the Name of the Wind series. If you don't know, honest to God, look it up now. He's been compared to Tolkien and several other authors, but Tolkien would be the big one that sort of everybody, especially in this community, would relate to. Sorry?
I was saying, especially now, everyone knows Tolkien's
name. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you said, who's Tolkien, I was going to say, okay, now there's twice as much heathenism going on.
Yeah, if someone doesn't know who Tolkien is, give me their name.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
They won't be on this earth much longer.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
But anyways, long story short, ever since the first book, I've been a huge fan of his. I like his writing. He has a blog that, I'll be honest with you, if you're into gaming, if you're into D&D, if you're into fantasy sci-fi, his blog is one of the more entertaining things to read, especially while you're waiting for his next book to come out, which in case he ever hears this is not a push for that, because I know no author is a fan of people going, why isn't your next book out yet? But anyways, we were at Origins in Columbus, and there had been a post on his blog that he might be there. So we showed up, didn't see him, wasn't on the list, so we kind of figured, okay, we'll do our thing. After some people watching, which includes some interesting highlights, such as the gentleman who had glued four-sided dye to his forehead and the rest of his head, which he had shaved, we essentially, you know, did our thing, talked with Shane Hensley. I apologize in advance, but I cannot remember the name of the one author we met as well.
Maxwell Alexander Drake would be the author.
Thank you, Brian. My apologies.
He was quizzing you, Brian.
Oh, hey, though.
Yeah. My apologies, but as people I work with every day would gladly point out, I am horrible with names, so nothing personal. But anyways, on our way out, we were talking to somebody who was telling us about a persistent realm he had created, and Patrick Rothfuss walks by. And with all the nonchalance and wonderful dignity that I can muster, I point like a 5-year-old, go, that's Patrick Rothfuss, and immediately walk away from the conversation.
Which it wasn't much of a conversation anyway.
Yeah. And I will state there was no like crazy psycho fan thing. I literally walked up to the gentleman, asked him for a picture, which I have, and you know, essentially that was it. But Brian always loves to give me crap about the fact that this guy was going on for quite some time about the way he designs persistent realms, the things he doesn't like about some certain things, and the fact that I literally went, Patrick Rothfuss, and walked away.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to challenge his validity as a developer. I think he was blowing some smoke up to our rear ends because, you know, first of all, he hadn't even heard of us. And we
couldn't tell you. I saw my favorite author who's still living, so I went away.
Yeah, it was a very smart move because I will never get that 10 minutes back of my life. I could have been chilling. I could have been looking around at different stuff in the exhibition hall. You know, I could have been doing something better with my life than talking to that dumb. Blah blah blah. but hey, you know, I did my community part. The guy said he was a developer and I wanted to, you know, hear a take on it. So
and just so everybody's who's still listening, is aware. We kid because we love and because we occasionally get tired of other people.
This is correct.
I won't tell but which. Just assume the love. Yeah, just assume the love. We won't tell you which reason.
Okay. Well, the thing, you know, here's the other thing, too, just with more background. The last full thing about it is that the fact that when we were there, you know, I was walking through the exhibition hall, and two of the other guys that came with us to do the podcast, my sound engineer, Mike Johnson, and my gaffer, Dan Mahoney, they were over there looking at some stuff and around some of the exhibitions that they had out in the hall. And they're like, hey, some dude, you know, came up and he was like, yeah, he said that he wanted to talk to you. He's a, you know, he's a big time developer in Everywhere Nights too, and he really wanted to meet you guys. And you know, I said, like, okay, cool, you know. And then the first words out of the mouth, oh, what's the Neverwinter Nights podcast? And I was like,
and the one thing I should clarify at this time, all four of us were wearing custom made Neverwinter Nights podcast shirts.
Shirts, yeah.
Oh yeah, you seen them in the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it was kind of one of those things of, well, I forget what he said, but he said, what is it? And then he says, is it an official group? So we almost had some fun with that. Like, no, we just made the t-shirts to get in for free.
Yeah, and we've only interviewed the creators of the game. It actually have a relationship with, you know, with them, you know, and I don't know. And half the community that's ever been on the show, so... Anyhow, it was just one of them type of things, you know, because we're all set up. We're like, oh, yeah, let's check this dude out. You know, finally you got somebody at the show that, you know, is familiar with Neverwinter Nights. And, you know, just remember, you know, we're at a game fair for role-playing games, period.
He doesn't know.
and here's the bigger thing. Nobody knew who the hell we were, like, as far as what Neverwinter Nights was or Neverwinter Nights 2. They had no clue what it was. You know, we're all set up. We had you see in the pictures, you see in the video on YouTube we posted, plus on our site, but you see we had a professional rig set up. We had sound system. We had a big banner behind us, professionally made. I mean, everything was top notch. I mean, there was, I would say, there was nobody there like that. Nobody in press, nobody nowhere that had a setup like we had. And,
this is true.
Yeah, I mean, look at Shane. You know, he came over. He's like, this is all. You know, I don't know. I mean, we had big time people come over, and they were like, that's, you know, wanting to be on the show and stuff like that, and understood who we were and everything like that. But then all these dorks in there. You would
it
think
puts the lotion on its skin.
Yeah, we're the basket, whatever. But the whole point is that, yeah, I mean, you're at the biggest let down ever. You're at one of the biggest game fairs in the country for role-playing games, and like one person or two people know who you are. Otherwise, they look at you like you're the biggest reject of the 21st century. I mean, it's kind of like weird. You know, you would think that people would know what Dungeons and Dragons is and Forgotten Realms, and you know, you'd think that they would put that together. But I don't know if it's just a lack of marketing by the Obsidian BioWare people over the years or what, but it's just interesting.
Well, it could be like a lot of people now play all the like the anime role-playing games, like Final Fantasy.
That's possible.
Like so many people know Final Fantasy. Like so many people.
Yeah.
So you probably got all those anime fans who, you know, watch the cartoons or whatever, and then they play Final Fantasy. And that's role-playing games to them. You know, they have no idea what Neverwinter is because they don't expand beyond anime.
Yeah, that's probably right. So, I mean, that's pretty much that was pretty much our experience there and at Gen Con. You know, we didn't have much any more people at Gen Con. That was even a bigger convention, so that was even crazier. They had tons of Dungeons & Dragons people there. Hell, me and you, Ben, we walked around that D&D room. Yeah, they're Thomas, just to give you the picture here.
Let's paint a picture.
Yeah, this is Bob Ross moment, okay, with the fro and everything. I mean,
first we have a happy little nerd.
Yeah, we had a happy ballroom full of nerds and a bunch of people playing pen and paper D&D. I mean, you know, and it was like we walked in there and they look at us like we're the biggest jackwads. You know, like, well, who the hell are these people? You know, and it was like,
well, we did commit a mortal sin. We did make eye contact.
That is true.
It's kind of like the bathroom etiquette. Guys, don't walk in and make eye contact. You stare at the wall.
And don't be an Uncle Ted.
Wow.
Keep a space in between the stalls.
Exactly. See? Someone knows.
That's right. And don't be a burglar.
God.
I'll let people look that one up.
You know, I was just going to say that's going to be the true cause of 2012 is going to be two guys are first next to each other in a urinal, but, you know, I think Brian just took the cake with that particular segue.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I can expand, but we'll just leave it at that. But anyhow, just, you know, it, just to go in a room like that and not to have any recognition whatsoever, it's just like, wow.
Yeah. Well, the the game organizer recognized the brand, if not us.
That's true. Yeah, one person. But hey, whatever. You know, that's why this year, 2013, we're not going to do any game fairs at all. I mean, the only thing that we might do is if we're invited by the Cryptic Perfect World staff to join them. As like I was saying before, you know, we're not going to do too many game fairs this year, if any, unless, like I said, the Cryptic staff invites us to come on and with them and to do something. They did actually invite us to the PAX West in Washington, I believe, and you know, we weren't able to go. We just got wrapped up with the Gen Con Game Fair, and there was no way in heck I was going to fly all the way out to Washington State from Pennsylvania. So I said, that's going to be all right. We'll catch you later type of thing. But yeah, next year, maybe if we can get in for their public release, if they have a release event or something, definitely would be a good podcast to go out there for that. But other than that, we're going to stick to just the interviews, try to keep the community alive, and you know, obviously, we're going to be working with giving the best and latest news on Neverwinter, and the Dark Tide.
Yes,
and the Dark Tide, which I actually recently had the privilege of doing some lines for Travis.
Oh, very cool.
Yep. So you'll hear my shady voice on there somewhere, you know, somewhere deep in there. But yeah, it was, so we have a lot of cool stuff coming up. What about you, Thomas? You got anything lined up for next year?
Actually, the only thing I have planned is to eventually finish the last episode for Neverending Nights. I have one more episode, and I've just kind of been sitting on it because it's kind of that feeling. I know it's the last one, and I don't want it to end, but I want to be done with it so I can finally say I'm done. So I'm very conflicted and very torn, so I'm hoping sometime before next year ends, I'm done.
Well, that's one way to keep people waiting. See, that might
that's
be
true.
That'll be the most listened to episode of the ever. And I can't wait till you do get it done, because I'd love to see how things end up with the class of characters that you have, you know.
And the thing is, I wrap it up for everyone. Like, almost everyone who's been in the episode gets something that wraps up their story.
Nice.
Like, I went all out.
that's the way to do it, man. B to C.
Yep.
And we'll let everybody figure that one out themselves.
And the good thing is, if I wait long enough, everyone's going to, before they watch it, they'll go back and watch the rest of the episodes, like the older episodes, so I get more viewership that way, you know? They're going to be like, I totally forgot what the hell happened. I have to watch the rest of the previous season. So, who knows?
Exactly. And
the only other plan I have is beating up Travis, who should hopefully be listening to this, so he gets on doing the Dark Tide. Because I know he has like four episodes of audio done, at least from me, and I'm assuming from everyone else. So I know he's got the first four episodes ready, audio-wise. He just needs to hurry up and do it.
Yeah, well, I'll get on him, don't worry.
So if you're listening, we will find you.
Yes.
We have a particular set of skills.
Well, yeah, and also Travis, you know, before we close out, I will say this, I want to give him honorable mention. He's been providing ROT... custom tracks for our Cormyrian Expanse campaign, and they've been fantastic. We rolled out a couple of his tunes just in our latest release, and he's composed the Realms of Trinity theme music that we can use now. It's going to be fantastic. So if you're a fan of Travis Richards music, which you all should be,
yes.
it's very good, and you know, it's really nice to have him working with us to really continually raise the bar on the ROT side. So and yeah, we really like to push the quality content, and you know, and having actually customly created scores for the game is just, that's great.
I agree.
Yep. Well, you know, thanks for everybody for listening. You know, I'm gonna say it's been a heck of a year for podcasts. We got a crap load of them kicked out this year, and you know, a lot of appearances. So you know, we appreciate everybody listening and supporting us, and you know, we'll be back next year in 2013. If the world don't end. And
Damn
it. And we won't be able to get in game and level up. So thanks everybody. Thanks Thomas for coming on, and thanks Ben for the great year of co-hosting.
Yep. Thanks to you guys as well. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, it has.
All right. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, and there'll be more, don't you? I hate to burden you, but
make it stop.
Well, signing out for episode 170. I'll actually take the closing line at the end of the year. And I'll tell everybody to get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.